Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
How can we stop the weaponization of government? We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, you know, when you look at America, in our recent history right now, our federal and state governments have been weaponized against law-abiding citizens.
Absolutely. I mean, look at J6. Look what happened to J6. Look at those who have worked in the Trump administration. Look what's happening to them.
You know, as we do this program right now, Steve Bannon was remanded to prison.
Right.
And he was found in contempt of Congress.
He served on the Trump administration.
He served on the Trump administration. He did not want to testify before this kangaroo Congress with Nancy Pelosi because it was rigging the January 6th committee and not providing full transparency. But he also said that because he was a Trump advisor, that he was obligated to not speak because of immunity, because of confidentiality.
Mm-hmm.
And he eventually did agree to do it, but they'd already charged him with contempt. You have Peter Navarro, policy advisor.
He's in prison right now.
He's in prison. You have Donald Trump himself in Georgia, and you have that also in New York.
Mm-hmm.
You have on June 28, 2012, Attorney General Eric Holder. He was found in contempt of Congress for refusing to testify, but nothing happened to him. On March 11, 2014, Lois Lerner, you remember her, IRS Director of Exempt Organizations Unit? She was found in contempt of Congress by the U.S. House for refusing to testify, but not a thing happened to her. On March 17, 2016, the editors and reporters of Backpage.com were found in contempt for ignoring a congressional subpoena demanding they turn over documents on human trafficking. On July 17, 2019, Attorney General Bill Barr and U.S. Secretary of Commerce Wilbur Ross, they were found in contempt by the House for refusing to comply with subpoenas issued by the committee. On June 12, 2024, Attorney General Merrick Garland was found in contempt by the House for refusing to produce documents related to the Biden handling of classified documents. The Department of Justice quickly refused to prosecute. So you have this double standard.
Yeah, this is the MO of this administration. I mean, if they don't like what you're saying or doing, they'll bring the FBI out to weaponize against you. They'll censor you and whatever it takes. But yet those who are actually committing the crimes, like let's talk about the Biden family and what's going on there. Nothing seems to be happening to them, but you're coming across against these innocent people because you don't like what they're saying and that they stand for President Trump and America.
Yeah, you got the Biden Department of Justice indicting Dr. Ethan Haim, a whistleblower mm-hmm. who reported the Texas Children's Hospital violation of Texas law with regards to puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and mutilating surgeries.
You got Sandra Merritt, our client. Look what's happening to her.
And she, like Dr. Haim, faces up to 10 years in prison if convicted, and also lots and lots of fines. You have Kim Davis as well. She's being prosecuted. So many different people. You've got some of the pro-lifers that were just thrown in prison under the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances law.
We're simply praying in front of an abortion
so
facility.
So this weaponization of the government, federal and state, needs to end because it is a dangerous precedent. We can have different opinions. We can have disagreements. We can have vigorous debate. But the government should not be used as a weapon to intimidate individuals. Remember when Barack Obama was elected in 2009, his Attorney General, Eric Holder, was confirmed as the Attorney General of the United States of America. He quickly weaponized the government by using the Department of Justice to file Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances laws against several pro-lifers. One of them was a client that we represented, Susan Pine in South Florida. Now, they had no evidence at all against Susan Pine. She was a peaceful sidewalk counselor. She had never violated any law. They alleged that on a certain day, that a car entering into The abortion clinic temporarily stopped as she was going to hand something to the car, and the car temporarily slowed down, stopped, and then moved on. That was the allegation. They wanted to have her fined $10,000. They wanted an injunction against her. And we defended her. We said that it was politically motivated. They had no facts. Amazingly, when we went into discovery, the abortion clinic had videotapes every day of the entrance to that abortion clinic. But on the day of this alleged allegation, miraculously, there was no video film for that day. We ended up winning this case after several years. The federal judge ruled that there was no basis in the law or facts to bring this case, and then fined the Federal Department of Justice over $100,000 for bringing this frivolous case. That was another example of the weaponization of government. So how do we stop it? Obviously, we have to defend those who are wrongly accused. That's clear in the court system. But how do we stop it from ever happening? That's after it happens. Once the weaponization happens, you got to defend them. But how do we stop it before it happens? How do you stop it before it happens is you elect different people in office. And that's where voting matters. That's why this year is so critically important. Mm. So we are encouraging pastors and churches to speak up on biblical values, to encourage people to vote biblical values, to educate about the differences of the candidates that are on the local, state, and federal ballots.
Yeah, do your homework. Even the judges, those are so important. Do your homework on what they stand for.
And especially on some of these abortion initiatives that are on the ballot, where you have to vote yes or no. It's really voting life or death.
Right.
You need to speak out on this. Pastors, people, churches, believers, you can't be silent on these issues. These are not political issues. These are biblical issues, and we will be held accountable.
Right, and we're also called to help protect our elections. I mean, volunteer to be a poll worker, be a local precinct committee member, get involved in your local political groups and learn and support those. But we have to also protect our elections. Voting is important, but protecting that vote is just as important.
So we have a training program that you can be a part of. Liberty Council, Liberty Council Action is doing some training programs for poll workers and poll watchers. There are two different things. One is a paid person. One is a volunteer person. One is more limited in terms of the opportunities. One is more expansive. So the volunteer, obviously, there's lots of poll watchers that can be available and volunteer. And we have information and training to be able to provide you how to do that. For example, one of our staff members who at the time lived in Virginia during one of the Virginia elections where the House and the Senate and the governor's mansion were all controlled by very liberal Democrats at the time. The laws were still bad. They did not have new laws that protected integrity of elections. So they were still operating under a terrible system. So what did they do? How did they make such a big change in this particular year for the elections in Virginia? They did it by having poll workers and poll watchers. And what they did was they tried to eliminate some of the fraud by having people actually observe the elections. And they knew from their various state parties that they worked in and got involved in which parts of the state were more susceptible to voter fraud.
And how about watching those that are counting the votes? That's just as important.
Exactly. Watching them as they come and vote to make sure that everything is being done properly. Mm-hmm. You can get training for that. We'll help you get trained. Some of your other people in your local community can help you as well, but we will have information on our websites, lc.org and lcaction.org, lcaction.org. So watch those websites. We will be posting some training in the near future, and you can be a part of this. And one is a poll worker, one is a poll watcher. We'll give you the information on the difference and how you can be involved, but I can tell you that kind of system in the Commonwealth of Virginia, in the context of laws that were not protecting the integrity of their elections. Now, there's many states since 2020 that have passed laws to help shore up some of the security and integrity of the elections, but many states have not. Doesn't really matter what your state has done. You can be an active participant in helping to preserve the integrity of the election. So on the one hand, we need to vote. We need to speak about biblical values. We need to vote. On the other hand, we need people to either be a poll worker or to be a volunteer poll watcher to secure the integrity of the ballot box. And it is so critical because all of these issues are on the ballot box. I would rather not have to defend the weaponization of the government. I would rather that the government never be weaponized. And how you do that is you vote biblical values. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, and Liberty Counsel Action, lcaction.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org.